Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Greetings, and welcome to the ID the Future podcast. This is Casey Luskin broadcasting from the Center for Science and Culture with the Discovery Institute in Seattle, Washington. This is the first of a three-part series of podcasts discussing a November 2006 article about evolution in National Geographic entitled From Fins to Wings by Carl Zimmer. National Geographic's pro-evolution articles sometimes come off like advertisements for Darwin. In this November 2006 issue, From Fins to Wings quotes a Harvard biologist named Howard Berg saying, quote, "The basic idea of evolution is so elegant, so beautiful, so simple." With such a ringing endorsement, I expected the article to urge me to go buy evolution at a local grocery store. Zimmer's article, however, was better than many past pro-evolution articles in National Geographic. Past articles used icons like Haeckel's false ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny concept and antibiotic resistance to sell evolution to the public. While Zimmer's article presents the fallacious "the human eye was poorly designed" icon and still doesn't get Haeckel's issues quite right, it does have an improved treatment of embryology, and it discusses many lines of evidence which ID proponents actually think support intelligent design. While the article itself was obviously not pro-intelligent design, it's worth discussing some of this evidence to see what it really supports. Firstly, I'll discuss Haeckel. After over 100 years, biologists are still making mistakes reminiscent of Haeckel's distortions. The article in National Geographic asserts that, quote, "the early embryos of three different vertebrates, a fish, a chicken, and a human, look much the same." To his credit, Zimmer does not endorse Haeckel. However, his statement is misleading, because vertebrate embryos start off very differently and then converge upon a similar stage partway through development, the stage that Zimmer selectively displays in his article. The hourglass pattern of development shows that in reality, vertebrate embryos start off differently. These facts don't fit so neatly with Zimmer's claim that, quote, "evolution often reshapes organisms by tinkering with the genes that control development," unquote, because the hourglass pattern of development shows that transitions from fish-like development ultimately into other forms of development would require radical restructuring, not, quote, "tinkering," from the earliest stages of development. Zimmer later says that evolution is a, quote, "simple process." In our experience, does a simple process generate the type of vast complexity that we find throughout biology? The article tackles the evolution of the flagellum, widely invoked by ID proponents as evidence for design. But the only hard evidence it provides is the type 3 secretion system. Dembski refuted this argument long ago when he pointed out that finding a subsystem which is functional does not imply you can evolve this final system. Dembski writes, quote, "finding a subsystem of a functional system that performs some other function is hardly an argument for the original system evolving from that other system. One might as well say that just because the motor of a motorcycle can be used as a blender, therefore the motor evolved into the motorcycle. Perhaps, but not without intelligent design. Indeed, the multi-part, tightly integrated functional systems almost invariably contain multi-part subsystems that serve some different function. At best, the type 3 secretory system represents one possible step in the indirect Darwinian evolution of the bacterial flagellum. But that wouldn't still constitute a solution to the evolution of the bacterial flagellum. What's needed is a complete evolutionary path and not merely a possible oasis along the way. To claim otherwise is like saying we can travel by foot from Los Angeles to Tokyo because we've discovered the Hawaiian Islands. Evolutionary biology needs to do better than that," unquote. Zimmer tries to meet Dembski's call to do better, and here's what he writes. Zimmer writes, quote, "it all started with a pump and syringe assembly like those found on pathogens. In time, the syringe acquired a long needle, then a flexible hook at its base. Eventually, it was linked with a power source, another kind of pump found in the cell membranes of many bacteria. Once the structure had a motor that could make it spin, the needle turned into a propeller and the microbes had a new mobility," unquote. Like one of Rudyard Kipling's Just So stories, there are no details here, just assertions which don't address any of the actual biochemical complexities of acquiring flagellar motility. Zimmer quotes Mark Palin on the origin of the flagellum, but Zimmer would have been most accurate to inform the public what Palin recently wrote in Nature Reviews Microbiology, that, quote, "the flagellar research community has scarcely begun to consider how these systems evolved," unquote. With its irreducibly complex nature and machine-like properties, perhaps the simplest explanation for the origin of the flagellum is intelligent design. This is Casey Luskin with the ID of the Future podcast, broadcasting from 3rd and Pike in Seattle, Washington. Thanks for listening.
Music on ID the Future comes courtesy of composer Yuri Mamchur. Visit www.yuriproductions.com and check out his latest CD, In the Harbor. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Discovery President is Bruce Chapman. ID the Future Managing Editor is Robert Crowther. And the producer is Keith Pennant. ID the Future and ID Science in the News is copyright Discovery Institute 2006. For more information, visit www.discovery.org or www.idthefuture.com.